your Bible to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. I'm about to read a lot of verses. These are typically verses that are read during Christmas time, so that'll be all right, right? So I'm going to read Luke chapter number 1, 80 verses. So just buckle your seatbelt and be patient. We're going to read through it. Instead of trying to endure such lengthy reading, why don't you just get into it and read it with me along and try to imagine it, see it with whatever sanctified imagination and the eyes of your heart. Just see the text. Begin looking already for what God might be saying and showing as we read it together. And if everything goes the way I feel like God has led me and shown me, then what we'll do is we'll be in Luke chapter number 1 this Sunday, next Sunday, and the next. And then the Sunday after Christmas, we'll do communion. And then the first Sunday in January. I can't think of his name. I forgot. He preached our revival. Does anybody remember? Anyway, he's coming. He's coming the first Sunday in January. I know his name. I just talked to him. Darren English. Okay. He's got first Sunday. So that's kind of our schedule coming up, just to let you know. Luke chapter number 1. Are y'all ready? Luke chapter number 1. Okay. She say she's ready? All right. Maybe y'all are as ready as she is, all right? All right. Luke chapter number 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. They were walking in his commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient, the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said unto the angel, watch this, whereby, somebody say whereby, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad things. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Amen. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste in a city of Judah, and entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doeth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Behold, from hence all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth, full time came that she should be delivered and brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And the mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he answered for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled at it all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he should grant to us that we should that we being delivered out of the hand of the enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto the people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. I want to give you an outline for this Sunday at Next. 4 points. I'll probably walk through 2 today and 2 next week. And it's all going to be centered around the narrative of Zechariah. And then on the 3rd Sunday from today, we'll look at Mary. But for the next 2 Sundays, very simple. Number 1, God is exceedingly faithful. Somebody say amen. God is exceedingly faithful. Number 2, God will expose your frailty or your fragility or your failure, whichever word that you want to put right there. Number 3, God will edify your faith. God will edify your faith. And number 4, God will ensue your affections. God will ensue your affections. Now, like I said, that is today's worth and next week's as well. This is where we're going to be. Now, let me say this. When you open up the book of Luke, we know that Luke, and many people think that Luke and Acts was written together. We know that they are written to Theophilus, okay? And there's a lot of debate around exactly who this fellow was, Theophilus. But we do know that Luke writes this to Theophilus, that he might be persuaded and know the things that is being declared and the things that they were declaring centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So Luke is writing a story, a narrative, his experience, what he's seen, what he knows to be true about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, how he came, what he did, everything that is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that everything Jesus Christ did was centered upon Yahweh. Amen? So if we look at what Luke writes, we will see Jesus Christ and who he really is and what he is really doing. And through the Christ, we will understand Jehovah, Yahweh. Amen? That is what Luke does. That is what Luke does. He tells you in the first few verses that I am writing, I am making a declaration of what we know to be true, the words, the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you would know with certainty, Theophilus, this is who Jesus is and this is who God is. I just want to say it again. God preserved this from eons of time until today, because some of us still sit in the seat of Theophilus sometimes. Some of us need to know things for a certainty about God. You can be in church all your life, but every now and then, God needs to make sure that we are certain, not of ourselves, but of himself. Are you with me? So I need to say to you today that God is faithful. You're not going to get a lot of deep teaching today, because that ain't what God gave me this morning. But what God did give me this morning is a simple word to tell you, whoever you are today, that he is exceedingly faithful. I don't know why you need to hear it. I don't know what you've been thinking, and I don't know what you've been feeling, but God does, and God wants you to know today that he is faithful. He's faithful to you. He is faithful to you. He is faithful to himself. He's faithful to you, and he will always be faithful in your life. Now, when I read the text, there's a few things happening in Luke chapter number one. Number one, I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing that you've got this sandwich of a narrative. You got God dealing with Zechariah. You got God dealing with Elizabeth. You got God dealing with Mary. And it tells you a little bit about what God says to Zechariah. Then it jumps over to Elizabeth. Then it jumps over to Mary. Then it jumps back to Zechariah. And one thing I understand about Zechariah or Elizabeth and Mary is that these are different people. Now, they're related. They have some things in common, but they have a lot of things that are not in common. Their circumstances are not the same. They are not the same. I see two different people with totally different circumstances, and God takes their completely different circumstances and accomplishes the same work through two different backgrounds, two different foundations, two different circumstances, and he performs the same miracle. One is old and barren, and God does a miracle birth through an old and barren, impossible situation, a broke down situation. God births a miracle. Literally. And then you take one. One is not old and stricken in years. One is not barren, but rather young and a virgin, and God does a miracle birth through her as well. They have nothing in common in their circumstance, yet God does a supernatural miracle through them both. The same miracle, a miracle birth. And I think that when Luke shows Theophilus, he's showing Theophilus something about who God is through this, that he is exceedingly faithful. I read the text, and I want you to hear this morning. I read the text. I read verse number 7, and I read, "They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They were both were now well stricken in years." Goes on to say, "Elizabeth said that she was a reproach among men, because she could not have children." And then I see in verses 13 and 14, watch this. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard." Your prayer, do you know what that means? Do you know what it's saying? That for years, Elizabeth and Zechariah had prayed for a baby. For years, they had prayed for a baby. Does anybody know what it's like to pray for something for years? Some of you ain't even going to get this. But somebody, God has just struck a chord deep in your heart. Do you know what it's like to pray for something for years? And I love it that years go by, and an angel finally shows up and says, "Hey, God heard your prayer. Prophetically, I need to tell you today that you that are praying for years, you've been praying for years. You've not heard an answer for years, but you've been praying for years. I need to tell you that God is exceedingly faithful, not to quit praying. You keep on pressing in. You keep on praying because God is exceedingly faithful." I feel like there's some that pray and pray and pray, and they get no response from God, and it questions their faith. It brings doubt in their life, and they somewhere begin to give up in their prayer and what they pursued and in their spirit life and what they've prayed. And God is saying, "I'm exceedingly faithful in prayer." Let me remind you, let me read you a few verses this morning. John chapter number 5. Let me turn over here. Listen to this. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Let me read you this. Isaiah 65, verse 24. It says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet still speaking, I will hear. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given. Matthew 21:22, whatsoever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. I was sent to tell you today that God is faithful. God is faithful to you in your prayers. He's faithful to you with his promise. With his promise. Here's the thing. God come, and it's amazing to me that he prays for years, then God gives him a promise. God don't just answer the prayer. God gives him a promise that the prayer will be answered. And then it says, the angel says, that in this next season is the season of fulfillment. I want you to understand that God just works like that. Many times you will pray, and God will give you the promise before he gives you the answer. All through the Bible, he's a God of promise. He loves to make promises. God loves to make promises and let the enemy come against the promise. Let everything try to defy the promise just so he can show you that he's faithful in keeping the promise. God loves to make a promise publicly, to put it on display, and then say to anybody that wants to try to stop the promise, come try to stop the promise, because when God makes a promise, he fulfills the promise. He's faithful in his promise. He's faithful in his promise. Titus 1:2. God promised eternal life before the world began, and God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall not make good? He ain't like me and you. When he says it, he does it. Always. Psalm 105:8. He is mindful of his covenant. And forever it is imprinted on his heart, the word which he hath commanded and established to 1,000 generations. God is faithful in his promise. Hebrews 10:23, he who promised is reliable and faithful to his word. Psalm 119:89-90, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is from generation to generation. You establish the earth and it is steadfast. God is faithful to you in prayer, and he is faithful to you with his promises. And again, some of you, this may not mean nothing, but some of you know what I'm talking about. Miss Betty Dallas, I want to do this because I can show you where I wrote this down on a piece of paper. I wrote y'all's name down, and I didn't even know you was coming. I didn't even know. I wrote this down on a piece of paper. I've been here 10 years. From the time I got here, Miss Betty prayed for John. She prayed for every Sunday. She wanted to pray for John, right? And do you know what she would say? The Lord promised he's going to get saved. Now, did you not do that? And you prayed and prayed, and she would say, I'm praying for John. We would pray, and she would say, God's promised one day he's going to get saved. For years. And before he passed away, he made right with the Lord. Did he not? See, some of you, this may not mean nothing to you, but one day you may know what it's like to have to labor in prayer for a child or a spouse or something for years and years and years, and have to know how to deal when God don't answer the way you want him to or as quick as he wants you to. Sometimes you've got to reconcile when God says something in your heart and makes a promise to you and you ain't seeing it fulfilled, and you've got to ask yourself, did he really promise? Am I making it up, or did he really tell me that? God always makes a promise in one season and fulfills it in the next season. Don't always expect the promise to be fulfilled in the same season in which it was promised. You will set yourself up for failure. What you've got to do is keep praying till the promise comes and know that fulfillment will follow in the season of fulfillment. I don't think some of us are getting it right now, because God has sent me to tell you that He is faithful. Whoever you are, He is faithful to you. He's faithful to you in your prayers. Don't quit praying. He's faithful to you in His promises. If His word says it, it's sure. Amen? How many of you know He's faithful in purpose? He's faithful in purpose. I love it that Elizabeth and Zacharias asked for a son. How many of you know God will do exceedingly abundantly above that that you can ask or think? They just wanted a child. They just wanted a child. They didn't know they was going to get this right here. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. What would you do? You would have to be a Jew to understand this. When God tells you this is, I was just asking for a child, and you give me exceedingly abundantly above that that I can ask or think. It just took years to get here. I promise you, the weight of faith is worth the gift. The weight of faith is worth the answer. There will be some that will spend their lives praying. And it may begin to look like he never heard. But he is faithful to the prayer always. And he is faithful to his promise. And when his purpose manifests, it always exceeds the weight. Now, I've got to get to something that the Lord is really speaking to me about, okay? If God is exceedingly faithful, what God, let me say it like this. I believe what God is trying to do is get our faith to match His faithfulness. Do you understand this? God is trying to get mine and your faith to line up and match His faithfulness. God didn't ask me to answer the questions. God didn't answer me to fix. God asked me to have faith. That's the beginning and that's the end. Faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? God didn't ask me to save my children. God didn't ask me to fix my marriage or yours. God didn't ask me to do none of the. God didn't ask me to get better from my. God asked me to have faith. That's what He asked me to do. And I believe if this letter to Theophilus is to ignite faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he starts out the gate letting him know that God is faithful. God is faithful, but not only is God faithful, he's trying to get your faith to a level of his faithfulness. I mean, does he not say that faith, like a mustard seed, that it explodes and grows radically, right? I guess my son's here. He'll probably hate this. I'm sorry in advance, boy. He grew up to be, he's about right at 6 foot tall or so. I remember when he was little, he was worried that he would be really short. Somewhere he had an idea of what his ceiling would be, what his potential would be. You hear me? And we have a ceiling. But I need you to understand, the one thing in you that does not is your faith. And God is able to bring your faith to a level to match His faithfulness. But we got to let him get us there. Now, here's what I want to say. I told you I'm not going to be long because I'm prophetically speaking to somebody that needs to hear that God is not just faithful to you, but exceedingly faithful. Keep praying and keep believing. But I need you to show you something. Point number two, he exposes our frailty. He exposes our failure, our fragility. Watch this right here. This is so good. Let me say it like this. There's a contrast going on in the text. Let me read it to you. Remember, God's going to take two different people groups that's got opposite situations and do the same miracle. Supernatural birth. That something supernatural and powerful would spring forth from them. One is old and barren. One is young and a virgin. And at the same time, God is doing the supernatural work in limited circumstances. How many of you feel like you're in limited circumstances? Have you ever felt like you are in limited circumstances? He does the same work. Now watch this. He comes to Zechariah. The angel comes to make the promise of the miracle. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am old man and wife well stricken in years." Verse 34. And then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, if you read that real close, you'll think their answer was the same. But if you go back and read that again, their answer is nowhere near the same. Here's the difference. Mary says, let me read it to you again. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How shall it be? Do you know what she's asking? This is Mary's reply. Here comes the angel. "You're going to give birth to the Son of God." Her answer is, "Okay, but I need you to do some explaining because I don't understand how this is going to happen." Right? "I'm good with it, God. I'm good. Bring him on. Bring him on. But how are we going to do this? I'm game. Let me give birth to the redeemed. But how exactly is this going to work?" That is her answer. This is Zacharias answered. Watch this. Totally different. Don't read it fast. Look at verse 18. Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years." He says, "You're going to have a baby." Short form. His answer is, "How do I know this is true? What sign you going to give me?" He's not asking for understanding. He's asking for a sign because apparently a manifested angel speaking the word of God is not enough. Do you see the difference? One says, "Okay, God, help me understand." It is okay not to understand God as long as you say, "Okay." It's okay not to have a clue how he's going to do it and to wonder how this is going to happen as long as you say, "Okay." What is not okay is to say, "God, you're going to have to prove me. You're going to have to prove yourself in this one. You're going to have to show me because I can't go with that. How do I know, God, you're telling me the truth?" Do you see what I'm saying? Now, look what God is doing. Look what God is doing here. Let me say this. There are some things that God has purposed to do in your life that your faith ain't ready for. Hear me. God's trying to do something in his life, but his faith ain't ready for it. You've been praying all your life. Here I am. And when it arrived, his faith was not ready to receive it. Okay? I'm going to show you something even deeper. God's speaking to some of us right here. Watch this. Look at verse number 6. Oh, Lord, I hear you. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Zechariah had faith to be devoted to God. Please don't miss this. Zechariah had faith to be devoted to God. Zechariah had faith to be obedient to the Word of God. Right? Look at verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of God. He had faith to serve God. He had faith to go into the presence of God. Are you with me? 10 and 11. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He had faith to offer praise and incense to the Lord. He had faith to believe for salvation. Somebody needs this. Verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. He had faith to pray for years. He did not have faith in the area of that which was most personal and most impossible. What are you saying? You can have faith in a lot of areas, but lack it in one. And that one area of a lacking faith will be like the weak link in your chain. Oh, if people would just get real right now. You got faith to believe that tithing will be blessed. You got faith to believe that God will save you if you ask Him. But yet there's some areas in your life that's real personal that attaches to your emotions that seems impossible, and you lack faith to see God move there. Do you know that we can have areas of faith in other areas that lack faith? There's people that will believe on how to be saved. They'll have faith in God that His Word is true. And that faith won't be touched. But when it comes to practical everyday living in the home and things that they need God to do, many times they get frustrated and quit and lack faith. That's why Christians give up on marriage. They believe God will save you. They believe tithing will be blessed, but I'm not really believing that you're going to fix this. Are you with me? I believe that when I worship Him, it blesses Him and He receives it. I believe that if the Holy Ghost will move, so and so will get saved. But my kids have used me and made a fool of me all my life, and I'm having a hard time believing that they'll ever be anything different. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let me tell you something about God. God is exceedingly faithful. And He's not okay with you not believing in His goodness in any area of your life. And if you've got an area in your life that is most personal and hidden, just like Elizabeth and Zechariah, things they had longed for, a child, things like that, these areas that maybe nobody else sees, I want you to understand something. God will expose the area of your weak faith so that He can edify it. Because He's trying to bring your faith to the level of His faithfulness. We're just teaching. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's important that as God's faithfulness operates in your life, that your faith is working on the same level. If not, you're going to miss some of the things that He's trying to do in you. I know people that thinks God will heal anybody else, but they're just afraid He won't heal them. You hear me? The they've got faith in this area, this area, this area, but there is an area that they lack it in. And that is Zechariah. Serves in the temple daily. He prays, obedient to the word. You come to church every Sunday. You prayed to receive Christ when you was little. You give. But there's something going on that I don't know what it is this morning, but you do. But you're lacking faith in that area. You have no doubt that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again the third day, but there's something going on inside of you that you're beginning to doubt that God is going to be faithful in. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is Zechariah. He said, you didn't believe. You didn't believe when God made the promise. He said, because you did not believe. You did not believe. I'm going to shut your mouth. I'm going to shut your mouth. Now, we're about done. I told you I ain't going to be long. And I may not always keep my word like God, but I'm getting close right now, I feel like. Do you know what he didn't do with Zechariah? And this is where we're going to stop, and I'll pick up next week. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't pull the blessing because his faith wasn't ready. You understand? God didn't do that. God didn't say, well, you prayed for all these years, and here I brought it, and you don't even want it. You don't even believe it now. Well, you missed it, buddy. Ain't you glad? God don't do that. That when he gets ready to be faithful in your life and your faith ain't ready for his faithfulness, that he don't just recant and go on to the next one. Ain't you glad this morning? But what he will do, he will edify your faith to get it ready for his faithfulness. You're going to get mercy and grace. He don't just pass on, but what he does do is focus on your weak area until your faith is there. And I'm telling you this morning that there's some of you somewhere in your life, somebody I know that is struggling in some little area. It may not be the big areas like doctrine and salvation, just some little area in your life. You're beginning to believe that God will never set you free of anxiety and depression. You've been asking God for 15 years to set you free from depression, and it ain't gone yet. And you're beginning to think that this is how you will live for the rest of your days. God's saying, I am faithful. And even if your faith ain't ready when I get there, I'll get your faith ready for my faithfulness. And whoever you are today, God, I believe, and I don't speak this language often. If you don't believe me, go look up every sermon I preach. I do not speak prophetic language often, but I'm telling you, God told me to tell you, whoever you are, that he is faithful. And even though your faith ain't ready, he's not going to recant and abandon you. But what he is about to do in your life is build up your faith. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you what God did to Zechariah. He shut his mouth. He rebuked him. He disciplined him. Right? But I'm telling you this morning that God's about to take a rebuke and turn it into a reward. Do you hear me? God convicting you of your feeble faith. God is about to take that rebuke and build your faith, and that rebuke's going to turn into a reward in your life. That God's discipline on your life that don't feel well always. What God is saying, I'm going to take that discipline and I'm going to turn it into development. I'll take this discipline and develop the faith that I want you to have. I'll take your mistake and I'll turn it into maturity. I'll take your failure and we'll make it turn and work into formation. You hear what I'm saying? He shut his mouth for a season because his faith wasn't ready. Just read for your homework what happens when he comes out of this season. That's where we'll be next week. Look what happens to his faith when he comes out of this season. I want to ask you to stand this morning. Oh, my goodness. Sprenda, you play a song. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? God ain't gonna let you conjure up a reputation of Him that is anything other than faithful. I don't think there'll be no man stand before God in the presence of clarity and truth and be able to call Him unfaithful. He's faithful to His word, and He's faithful to you. God says, I see you. You got faith in Calvary. You got faith for eternity. But you don't got faith about what you're feeling right now. You got faith to give to me, but you ain't believing me with what you're going through. You don't pray as much as you used to because you begin to give up on me. As if I am a God that is not faithful. God's exposing areas of weak faith this morning. God has exposed an area of weak faith in me. I'm confessing to you this morning. When the Lord began to speak to me, He showed me Zacharias. He showed me Stetton operating in the temple. He showed me myself trying to be obedient in the word. He showed me myself in the presence and offering praise. But He showed me the weak area of my faith. The things that are personal and the things that seem most impossible. Do you know why they seem most impossible? It's because you're the one that tried to fix it. Whatever this area is that seems most impossible, whether it's a relationship or an emotion or this or that, it's because you've spent years trying to fix it yourself and you've come up short every time and you've arrived at the point that this is impossible, which is exactly where God wants you to, because then He steps in and makes the impossible possible. God is exposing an area of weak faith. And I hear the Lord say this morning, that I am exceedingly faithful to you. I'm speaking to the barren. I'm speaking to the widowed. I'm speaking this morning to the lonely. The lonely. Relationally lonely, emotionally lonely. You've been trusting Him for all these other things. You got to trust Him in this too. I'm speaking to somebody who's not feeling well in their body and they believe Him to save you. You pray that God would heal somebody else, but you just don't think He's going to touch you. I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to the one that believes in salvation and you pray for others, but you're just beginning to doubt that He's going to save your little boy or your little girl. That it looks hopeless. God is exposing the areas of a lacking faith this morning. You got a good area. You got this area is good. This area is good. This area is good. But you're lacking to believe Him in this area. And God is exposing it. But you hear what I'm saying. God is not going to walk away from your area of weakness. He's going to pour out mercy and grace upon you. And He's about to bring it into development, maturation. He's going to bring your faith to the level of His faithfulness. Somebody say amen. Just for a minute, would you receive this? Turn it up, Miss Mary. Just receive this morning. Whoever you are, whoever you are, God is speaking. You may be sitting there, and it may not mean nothing to you, but there's people right now, God is speaking to, and He's all over them. God is prophetically moved in this place. Just for a minute, you press in. You press in. You receive it. You worship Him. You worship Him. Trust Him this morning. Trust Him this morning. God, help us to trust You this morning.
One thing I desire, only this I see.
just to dwell. So Betty, I don't know why you pray so long, why it's so long. You know, I don't know why when Lazarus died or was sick, Jesus wouldn't go visit him. And then the first day, he didn't go visit him. And the second day, he didn't go. I don't know why God seems to us like he's so late sometimes. Other than that is the most glorious avenue that him and I can go down. What is greater? To see a healer firsthand or the resurrection firsthand? Believe. Where your faith is weak, let God strengthen it, okay? Look, I'm telling you, some of this is so acute and felt now. It's what you're feeling right now. It's what you've been feeling this week. Some of you, you've been feeling this for years. This is what God's doing. He's exposing the areas. He's speaking from heaven that I am faithful. And you're going to be carried out these doors by the wings of grace and mercy today. And you're going to go through a little season. It may be for the rest of the evening, for the rest of the week. It may be for weeks in which God is building that faith. But you're going to understand it. You're going to understand. Next week when we get done, you're going to understand it. You're going to understand it. But from now until the end, just let him do what he's doing. Let him do what he's doing. Would you say he's faithful? Say it again. He's faithful. Say he's faithful. Say it again. Say it again. He is faithful. God, we love you. We praise you. We bless you today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful. You are faithful. It's not enough, God, to just be able to say it. God, we've got to know it for a certainty. We've got to know it for a certainty, God. So, Lord, I pray, God, that we would be persuaded by the Holy Ghost and truth of your faithfulness, that we would hear it, see it, God, that we would feel it. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would prepare our faith, the weak areas of our faith, to be ready for the arrival of the manifest faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Bless them. Bless her, your wife. Bless them, your children, as they go. And again, we pray for every need, God, still. Lord, our heart is with Lance's family, God, with those who are suffering and hurting. God, we pray for every need. God, we are excited to pray for every need because we know your faith. Be honored and glorified in everything we say or do. To consecrate ourselves unto you. We love you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. I love you. You are dismissed. Come back. Come back and hear the last part. You need to hear the last part next week. God bless you. I love you.